Chapter 9. The following day, Jesus, ambling, bleary-eyed, into the reception area at ABN with his signed and completed forms stuffed into his back pocket. The forms are stained with wine and coffee and the ash from spliffs and cigarettes, and had been the subject of a 2-hour, 3-way argument between him, Chris, and Morgan in the early hours of that morning. Jesus and Chris had been completing the forms, filling in the biographical details, elaborating, embellishing, when Morgan began reading the small print.
"Holy shit," he said. "You can't sign this."
"How come?" Jesus said.
"Have you pair of retards read this thing? The slaves putting the fucking pyramids together got a better deal. Look."
They went through it. It turned out that in addition to giving the producers of the show exclusive rights to his recording career, Jesus was not allowed to perform live, record material, or to appear on any similar TV shows without their permission for 12 months after the final episode of American Pop Star aired. In addition, he granted them permission to exploit his likeness and image in any way they saw fit. He assigned the show's producers his merchandising rights and granted them the exclusive option to become his managers and to sign his songwriting publishing if they saw fit. He agreed to take part in commercials for any sponsors tied into the show at this point, including, but not limited to, Ingram's Soft Drinks Company, Cable and Wire Telephone, the Powell Motor Corporation, Sentinel Computers, Grain Whole Cereal, APS Computer Games, and Bell Jeans, or who became affiliated with the show at any point in the future. He was required to undertake any reasonable promotional duties requested by the producers. The definition of reasonable, for the avoidance of doubt, was to reside solely with the producers, and was forbidden from entering into any other product endorsements or commercial services without their written consent.
"I mean," Morgan said, "they could have you drinking their fucking cola while dressed up in some crazy outfit, singing some song that you wrote but they own, while you're driving a car made by some motherfuckers who sell machine guns to African dictators, while you're playing some lame-ass computer game on one of their motherfucking cell phones. Meantime, they're collecting every goddamn penny, and you're getting maybe 5 cents in the dollar. Shit, who wrote this fucking contract? Satan?"
"Yeah, but if he doesn't sign it," Chris says, "then he won't, like, get on the show, right?"
"Fuck the show, Chris. I'm a musician, man. This kind of shit makes me sick to the pit of my motherfucking stomach."
"Look," Chris says, "I hear you, man, but let's get a foothold, then you can't get a little bit pregnant, motherfucker."
"Guys, guys," Jesus said.
Round they went for a long, long time. Pragmatism versus idealism. Realpolitik versus taking a stand, Trojan horse versus storming the gates, means justifying the ends versus fuck those slimy record company motherfuckers, until finally, around 3 a.m, Jesus leaned in, swooped the forms off the little coffee table, and just signed them, lying down on the carpet.
"There you go," Chris said.
"What the fuck?" Morgan said. "Man, I thought you were against all that soulless, life-sucking, corporate sponsorship exploitation bullshit."
"Morgan," Jesus said,
"calm down, dude. There's nothing to worry about. You just agreed to, I'm not going to do shit. I'm just going to sing a few songs. They're going to tell you it's in your contract. So, what are they going to do?"
"Sue your fucking ass," Morg said. "So?" Jesus said, relighting the spliff, grinning. Morgan realized, started smiling too.
"Huh?" Chris said.
"What do you get if you sue someone, man?" Jesus said.
"Money."
"Exactly," Jesus said. "If there is any, they can have it all. Who gives a fucking shit about that?"
"You brought your completed forms?"
The girl in reception is saying to Jesus now.
"Yes, ma'am," he says, handing them over.
"Great. We'll see you in L.A. Congratulations."
"L.A.?" Jesus says. "What's in L.A.?"